Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and we're going to continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 16. We're probably one or two messages away from being done with 1 Corinthians. I hope this has been a blessing to you. What we're going to focus on tonight is verses 15 through verse 18. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18. If you can get your Bible, go ahead and open it up and we'll read our text and preach from it here in just a bit. If not, you just listen on because I'm going to read it. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that they are such. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's listening tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'd use this message perhaps to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And also, Lord, if someone doesn't know you as Savior, that perhaps through this message tonight they'd be saved. Have your will in your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to entitle 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 18. We're going to entitle this Stephanas, a Model Church Member. Stephanas, a Model Church Member, and indeed he was. And what we'll do is we will notice five things about him that makes him a model church member. And I'm going to go ahead and give all five of them to you at the beginning. Number one, he was saved. Number two, he was baptized. Number three, he was addicted. Number four, he was a helper. And number five, he was refreshing. Now, I'm going to go back over them as I go through the message tonight. Remember, the message is entitled, Stephanas, a Model Church Member. After that you're born again, after that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need a church. And you need a good Bible teaching, New Testament church to be a part of. And I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Because you need taught, you need the assembly. Hebrews chapter 10. Says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. You need to assemble, and that assembly place is his church. And, of course, his church is identified by the grace message, by the true gospel, and by properly picturing the ordinances. So you need to be a part of one. You need to serve the Lord through one. Now, what we want to do is we want to look at each one of these characteristics of a model church member, and that's what Stephanas was. He was a member, I believe, of the church of Corinth. So let's go ahead and get into the text and work through these five things that made him a model church member. Notice what it says in verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Now, first fruits indicates that his family was his household was the first that was saved. It says first fruits of Achaia. Now, of course, Athens was in Achaia and Corinth was in Achaia. And, of course, in Acts chapter 17, you have a record of Paul preaching on Mars Hill, and there's people saved there. So I think right after chapter 17 and chapter 18, you have Paul going to Corinth. So the people in Athens would have been saved before those of Corinth. So what I think he's talking about here, the first fruits of Achaia is the first fruits of Corinth. That the house of Stephanas was the first household that was saved at Corinth. I'll tell you what's a blessing now when you see a household saved. And that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes the Lord will save one person in the family and then other people might come, somebody might come to their baptism and the family will come and watch it. And sometimes through that, their family members get saved. And it's an exciting thing. If you're listening to me tonight and your household is saved, you need to stop and thank the Lord for that, because that is indeed a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Something to thank the Lord for daily is it's that your household is saved. Now, he says he was the first fruits. He was the first fruits of Achaia, and of course we've pointed out that that was probably Corinth. Now, he used the illustration of a harvest, and the first fruits is simply speaking of that which was first ripe in a harvest. You plant a garden, and that which was came up first and was ripe was considered the first fruits. Actually, there was feast days. The week of Passover, you had Passover on the 14th, and Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th, and the 16th was the first fruits. And they celebrated the first fruits of the barley harvest. The Feast of Pentecost was also a first fruit feast. They also offered the first fruits from the wheat harvest in summer. Well, this is just speaking of salvation when it says that Stephanus was the first fruits of Achaia. That means he was of the first that was saved. Of course, if you're going to have a harvest, what do you have to do? You got to sow seed. If you're going to see somebody saved, what do you have to do? You want to have a harvest of souls? What do you have to do? You got to sow seed. And the seed is the gospel message. If you want to see people saved, you got to give them the gospel. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel message. First Corinthians is a special, extra special book, because in 1 Corinthians 15, you have the definition of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That's the power of God to salvation. Romans 1, 16 says, to everyone that trusts it. Everyone that trusts the gospel is saved. That's the power of God unto salvation. And if someone says they're saved, and you ask them why, and they need to be able to tell you that I'm saved because Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. Well, if you're going to have people saved, you got to sow that gospel seed. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit uses it and touches hearts and opens hearts with it, and they get saved. 1 Corinthians 3 is a great text, and it uses, again, the illustration of the seed. It says in 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 6, I planted, and Apollos is watered. See, he's talking about going there, and he went to Corinth, and he preached the gospel. And when you're preaching the gospel, what are you doing? You are sowing seed. He said, I have planted, and Apollos watered. What he planted, he watered. And God gave the increase. So you can't make it grow. You can't. I've seen people trying to make it grow, but you just can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can bring about a new birth. We're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can open an old dead heart, and he's the only one that can show people their need of salvation, and he does. So that's what it says. Paul said that they were making too much of their preachers, if you'll remember, and all he's saying, hey, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And when he went into Corinth, he preached the gospel. As a matter of fact, he was afraid. The Lord appeared to him in a vision in Acts 18 and told him to preach because he had a lot of people in that city. See, the Lord knows his people, does he not? And he knows his sheep. And some of them are lost sheep, and he sees to it that they hear that blessed gospel message. And he's given us the privilege of being the ones to sow that seed, sow that gospel seed. Let me ask you a question. Have you shared that gospel message with anybody this week? Have you told anybody you work with, maybe somebody in your family? Have you shared that gospel message with anybody this week? I mean, if you've trusted it, if you're saved, if the Holy Spirit quickened your heart, you've seen your need, and you trusted the gospel, you want to share that with other people. You want to see other people saved. So what does a model church member look like? It looks like Stephanus, and he was saved. He was saved. And he was the first. His family was the first fruits of Achaia. And him and his family were saved. And then we move on into the next thing about a church member that we want to point out to be a model church member. Not only was he saved, but also he was baptized. Of course, to be a member of a church, and to a person needs to be baptized. And first, Acts chapter 2, we'll talk about baptism here just a little bit. In the book of Acts chapter 2, you have the pattern. You have it in the commission originally. Matthew 28, Jesus gave the commission, go ye therefore and make disciples. How you make disciples? By spreading the gospel. And after a disciple is made, Jesus said to baptize them. Now, people view baptism as optional, but it's not optional. Lord wants you become, here's the order, you become a disciple, and then you're baptized. And in baptism, you're publicly showing the picture of the message you trusted that saved you. When you watch a baptism, which means an immersion, you see a picture of a death, burial, and resurrection. The death, burial, and resurrection is defined in 1 Corinthians 15 as the gospel, as the power of God to salvation. Baptism is a picture of it, and he wants it pictured. He wants you to mind him in that, and you're publicly, years past, really how your salvation was made public is through your baptism. You were publicly declaring that you had become a disciple, and your baptism was how you declared it. You was making it known that you had become a disciple through faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, it talks about the church of Jerusalem. They had 3,000 people saved in one day. Can you imagine? And they also baptized 3,000 people on that day. But listen to the order, Acts 2, 41. They that gladly received the word. Now, that's how you get saved, is you receive the word. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the children of God. You receive him. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1, to save them that believe. So here's the order. You receive him, and after you've received him, and you're saved, and you're a disciple, then you're baptized. And then that same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they have a role. Evidently, they had all their names written down. In Acts chapter 1, the church had 120 names written down. Acts 1:15. And in one day, they went from having a church of 120 to a church of 3,120. Boy, what a magnificent day, was it not? So not only we're talking about being a model church member, of course, a model church member, to be a church member, you need to be saved, but that doesn't imply that all are. All you can go by is by what people say. And if someone's truly been born again, you should see it. You should see a change in their life. It's not the cause of their salvation, it's the effect of it. You trust Christ, you've been born again, and there's spiritual life given to you, and you see why Jesus died and rose again, and you trust him. And you have new life in Christ, and that is to continue, and it will, if it's true. So a genuine church member is saved, one that's trusted Christ. Number two, a church member, model church member is also baptized. They mind the Lord in baptism. Stephanus was a member of the church of Corinth, and it was a local church. I mean, when you read about these epistles, Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Thessalonians, and then you go to Revelations and read about the seven churches of Asia. These were churches. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, people were saved. He established churches. Acts 14, I think it's verse 27, when he finished his first missionary journey, it says they ordained elders in every church. That means they established churches everywhere they went. And, my friend, you need to be a part of one. You need an assembly place. And if you don't have one, we'd like to invite you to the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft. We'd love to have you. Come and assemble. Come and be a part. Come and sit in the congregation and listen to the teaching of the Word. We would indeed love to have you. So he was saved, and then he was baptized. And then here's the third thing that I want you to notice about a model church member. And I really do indeed like this one, what this says about this man. I think this is a tremendous testimony for a man of God to have. And I want you to listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus. He's the first fruits of Achaia. Now, notice what it says. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now here it says not only was he saved, not only was he baptized, we notice that in 1 Corinthians 1:14-17, that he was baptized. We notice that he was saved because it calls him the first fruits in 1 Corinthians 1:16 and verse 15. But now it says in 16:15b that he was addicted. Now when you say someone is addicted, it's usually addicted to something that's bad. I mean, we think about the word addiction in only a bad way. But this man was addicted in a good way. What was he addicted to? He was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, to be addicted to something means to be devoted to it. He was devoted, dedicated to the ministry of the saints. And he couldn't do without them. You know, when someone's addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever, they can't do without it. Well, this man couldn't do without it. He couldn't do without working in the Lord's work and being the Lord's minister and helping in the Lord's service. He just couldn't help but do it. He was addicted to, think about it. He was addicted to serving the Lord. Now, that's a good addiction, isn't it? I mean, that's a tremendous testimony of Stephanus, that he was dedicated to the ministry of the saints. Now, of course, it uses the word saints. That's just another name for God's people. It means the Holy One. 1 Corinthians 1 said you're called to be a saint. You become a saint in Christ Jesus. You become a saint while you're living. And you become a saint by faith in Christ Jesus. That's how it happens. That word saint has been abused today. You have people becoming saints based on their deeds, and you have them becoming saints after they're dead. That's impossible. That's not biblical whatsoever. It's eternally too late to become a saint after you're dead. And you become a saint by faith in Christ Jesus. So this message is entitled Stephanus, a Model Church Member. He is saved, he was baptized, and he was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, I'm not sure exactly that the writers are divided up on it. Some think that he was a minister in the sense that he was a preacher. He could have been. Sometimes that word minister is used in reference to someone that was a preacher. And it's also used in the sense, and most think this is the idea of it, is that they just help people. They just went around helping people and supporting people. And the ministry is in the saint, ministering to the saints is like giving and helping the saints, just such as in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And here the word ministering is used as giving a gift to someone. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4, pray in us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now, you notice he talks about receive the gift. Now, the churches of Macedonia and the church of Corinth were going to take up an offering and send it to help the saints at Jerusalem. So we're talking about giving, and that was called a ministering to the saints. And you have the same thing in chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, you have it used there again. And it's talking about, again, giving to the church of Jerusalem when you look at the context. So most think that what Stephanus was and did when it talks about him ministering to the saints is in that aspect, that he would give of his means, that if people needed help, he would meet those needs. Whatever needed done, he would do. And he just basically served people and helped people. Much in the same sense as you see in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter, let me see if I can find this for you. In Matthew chapter 25. And here's ministering to the saints. It says, then shall the king say to them that is on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we hungry and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. That's ministering to the saints there too. So, God takes note of that, and the Lord one day will reward that. When you help a child of God, that's the same as helping him. So he was addicted to this work. His life was devoted to serving in this capacity. Let me ask you a question. What are you devoted to? What is your life dedicated to? And I pray that if you're saved, that it's dedicated to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 15 says this, He died for all, that's Gentiles as well as Jew, that they which live should not henceforth, that means no longer, should they live unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. When he saved you, he didn't save you for you to continue on serving the world. He saved you so you would live the rest of your days unto him. That's why he saved you. Paul said it best in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Let me ask you a question one more time. What are you addicted to? What are you devoted to? If you're saved, if you're born again, I pray that that devotion above all things is to your Lord. Whatever you're devoted to more than your God is an idol. Lord doesn't pay second fiddle to anything in your life. One of the problems in the church of Ephesus in the Revelation chapter 2 is that they left their first love. Their love for the Lord wasn't what it used to be. And they needed to correct that. The Lord said he'd come and remove their candlestick. They'd ceased to be a church because of this. What are you addicted to? I pray that you're addicted to working in the Lord's work and serving him with your life. Well, let's move on. Stephanus was a model church member. He was saved. He was baptized. He was addicted to ministering to the saints. The next thing we see about him is that he was a helper. It says in verse 16 that ye submit yourselves unto such, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So he was a helper. He helped the Apostle Paul in some fashion. One of the gifts you read about in the book of Ephesians, I believe it's the book of Ephesians. I ain't got time to try to look it up and make sure it's the right one. I'm running out of time. But it's the gift of helps. The gift of helps. And that's what a church needs. A church needs people that will just get in there and help in whatever needs done. I mean, a church just isn't a pastor. A church is a congregation of people, and you have people that have different gifts, but you also have people that I believe have the gift of helps. And what do? They just help. Whatever is needed, babies need taken out and watched after so their parents can listen during the service. They have helpers in the church that does that. And I pray that that's something that you have, the gift of helps. Well, he was a helper. He worked there at the church, and he helped in the church, and you should too, in whatever capacity. You might not be a pastor, but you can be a helper. 1 Corinthians 12, I said it was in Ephesians. I've been looking through my Bible trying to find it. Hebrews 12:28, God set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps. There it's mentioned. People that just help. And that's the way Stephanus was. And if you're going to have a good, strong church, you got to have helpers. People that do things. People that might bring people to church. People that will meet needs that people have. Whatever. You need people that are helpers. And Stephanus was a model church member because he is saved, he was baptized, he was addicted to the work, and he was a helper. Finally, he was an encourager. And that's what we also see in 1 Corinthians 16. Paul was encouraged by him. Now it says in verse 16 that they should submit themselves to such. In other words, they should recognize their leadership if they was ministers and follow it. And if they wasn't ministers, they should submit and hold them in high esteem for their work's sake. They really should indeed and follow their example. They needed to be the same way. They needed to submit themselves unto such that helps us and laboreth. Now, verse 17. He says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit. I want you to listen to that, folks. That means they were encouraging not only Stephanus, but the other two men that's listed in verse 17, Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. They have refreshed my spirit. Now, the idea of the word refreshed is translated in Matthew 11:28, where it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. They gave Paul rest. So that means they had said something to him that was encouraging to him. Sometimes you worry about church members, you worry about folk, and many times we need to get alone and pray and turn those cares over to the Lord. But we wonder how people are doing. Well, that's how Paul was, and I'm sure that he realized the different enemies that can come in and attack a church and seek to destroy it. Well, they no doubt had brought him some good news, and his spirit was refreshed. He says, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. So that, I think that just simply means they were encouragers because they gave Paul rest. And I think that he was concerned over the church and they probably brought him some good news. And that would be a blessing. When we looked at 1 Corinthians here, we noticed that they had wrote him certain things. For instance, let me go ahead and read it. Now concerning those things whereof you wrote unto me. And they had question about marriage in chapter 7. Chapter 8, verse 1, now it's touching things offered to idols. We know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. So they had wrote him about different topics. And in the latter stages of 1 Corinthians 7:1, 8:1, 12:1, 16:1, they had wrote him with some questions. And no doubt these men were the one that brought those questions to Paul for him to answer. And when he's probably heard their interest and how things weren't as bad as he thought they were, this was encouraging to them. Well, we're going to have to stop. This was message Stephanus, a model church member. He was saved. He was baptized. He was addicted to the work. And he was a helper. And he was an encourager. And that should be a description of you. If you're saved, you should be baptized, part of a New Testament church. You should be devoted to his work. You should be a helper and an encourager. May God add his blessings to his word.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.